Good morning, 737 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us. Nice sunny day. Still cold, but sunny. I'll take it. Let's see. We've got Mike Wood. He is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department joining us now. Mike, as always, welcome back, sir. Good to talk to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I know we got a couple of smaller stories. They're still very interesting stories that I want to get to. But before we do that, it seems to me like the big story of the week, I mean, we talked about it yesterday quite a bit, but the Rodney Jones arrest, the charges against him and his children involving the allegations about misbehavior with a woman, a teenager, involved in the HOOPS program, going through a community service and all of this. I know you guys have been leading this investigation, so you guys have a lot more information than I do. Tell me what we know. Let's start there.
Well, I have to be careful with that because it is a sex crime, so a lot of information is restricted. But what I can tell you is that anytime a person is charged and then family members or friends or anybody else calls or makes any kind of contact or communication with the victim, that's going to be problematic. And that's what happened in this case, whether it be asking them to drop the charges or threats or maybe it could be financial considerations, trying to get a victim to drop the charges. All of that is highly illegal. Everybody wants to take up for their family members and things like that in situations like this, but you have to be very careful. And that's what went very wrong in this case with family members of Mr. Jones.
You know, I wanted to actually ask you about that because I know we haven't yet talked about the underlying charges that started this all, but my wife asked me this question yesterday. She says, look, when people get involved in, say, litigation, one of the most common outcomes of that is that, you know, A pays B a bunch of money and B agrees to not talk about it. You know, non-disclosure agreements, confidentiality are a result of paying a payment. And she says, what's the difference between that and offering somebody to shut up in exchange for money, which we would style, let's say, as a bribe? But why is it illegal to offer somebody money? I mean, coercion, intimidation, obviously we get that. But why is it a crime to offer somebody money to stop talking about an alleged crime?
Well, you're talking with attorneys around tables where everybody's there, nobody's being threatened, and it's a deal that everybody agrees with. In situations like this, before an arrest is even made, a lot of times, and sometimes after the arrest, when you're going to do it in the back door sort of situation with threats and money and things like that, that's the difference. That's what makes it illegal. It's different when the prosecutor's office and the defense attorneys are all involved in a situation or in a deal.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. But back to the original allegation. And again, I understand that because we had at the time of the crimes, a minor, now an adult. I think that's right. Right. She's an adult now. The victim is an adult now.
I believe so.
Okay. But at the time, a minor, 16 years old, according to the reports. She's got to do this community service. She goes and works with HOOPS. And she alleges that he touched her, that escalated, that eventually it was, you know, unwanted sexual advances. And she was basically afraid to talk to anybody or to say no, because if she said no to what eventually became sex, that she would not get signed off on her community service, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's in a position of authority, and he has a lot being held over her head, sort of. So he had, she felt like, according to the report, that she felt like that if she didn't do like he said, then he could withhold that or withhold the signatures and keep her there longer. So it's a bad situation. You hear about it all too often of people that are in authority that do things to those. You've heard police officers and corrections officers and clergy and all kinds of people involved in this sort of thing. It's just a sad situation.
And of course, he has denied, or at least through attorneys, has denied, you know, all of the allegations. But you guys didn't just, you know, make all of this up. You did a very thorough investigation that, as I understand it, involves even things like verifying cash transfers through apps and or phone messages that confirm her side of the story. Is that basically right, or are there other elements of this you can talk about?
Yeah, well, you have to investigate everything. All the accusations, if a person says this was done and that was done, we have ways of verifying that to make sure the story is true, because a lot of times It can be the other way around. You know, if you don't sign off on this early, or if you don't do this for me, then I'm going to say that you did that to me, that sort of situation. So our detectives have to go through this very carefully, and it takes a long time sometimes to get all this information before charges are brought. But I can tell you the investigators at the Pensacola Police Department are going to do their jobs very well and not bring charges until things have been verified.
You know, one of the things that I think a lot of a very understandable response to a story like this is, you know, well, that's she said, he said, she's, you know, been convicted of a crime. That's why she's serving community service. You know, how do we know who to believe? Could it just be a matter of opinion? Could it even be, as you mentioned, a matter of reverse threats that, you know, she says, I'll tell a story if you don't do what I want you to do. For people who might be having that kind of a reaction, and of course, he's innocent criminally until proven guilty, you know, but we know where the investigation seems to be leading and what the report says. How would you answer, or how would you sort of reassure people who might have that perception of this particular story?
Well, again, our detectives are going to look into it. I'm going to look into it from a from 30,000 feet. They're going to look at all the possibilities, and they're going to look at paperwork, transactions, phone records, all kinds of things, and not just in this case, but this is the way cases like this are investigated. And once they have all their information, then they present it, they get with the state attorney's office, and once an agreement is made that charges should be forthcoming, that's what we do. And if charges are not, then either they're not brought or maybe it could be taken to a grand jury. So the investigators know what they're doing, and they know the facts that they have, and it was enough to bring charges in this case.
Last question on this subject, and I ask this because to me this is, I mean, the incidents themselves alleged are important. The treatment of this girl, as alleged, is important. You know, making sure that if they're true, a predator is not allowed to continue doing that. All of that's important. But to me, the maybe not more relevant, but the broader implication is we have, you know, 330,000 people in Escambia County, 50,000 plus people in the city of Pensacola. Leverage, abuse, threats, coercion, fear, intimidation, and unwanted physical touching that escalates. I wish it weren't common, but it is relatively common. It's common enough that there are a lot of women who are afraid to come forward and afraid that they're going to get turned into the bad guy or that they're going to be, you know, further abused by exposure. What would Mike Wood, the lifetime police officer, tell such women who might be having that fear but are experiencing anything like this right now?
Well, first of all, the first time something happens, it needs to be reported. Please don't be afraid and let it escalate to a situation to where you're locked in and things have gone from maybe from inappropriate language to touching, and it can get worse. So when it gets to that point, somebody needs to be told about it early on so it doesn't go on for 6-8 months to a year or even worse than that.
You know, I said last question, but it's exactly what you just said. The follow-up is, how many times as a law enforcement investigator have you come across a woman who said, well, I didn't think he'd keep doing it, or he promised me he'd stop, or he said he loved me, or anything in that vicinity, which is why she waited and waited and waited, and it got worse?
Yeah, that does happen, and especially in cases of domestic violence, there's all kinds of reasons why the ladies keep going or stay in that relationship or stay in that home. Because there's many reasons why they do it, whether they're afraid for the children, or it's financial reasons. These women have different reasons for this, but all I can tell them is that they don't have to put up with that. There is help, and we will get them that help. Just don't stay in a situation like that.
Amen. Absolutely. Mike Wood is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, talking to Mushmouth Andrew McKay. Mike, we had yet another break-in or vandalism incident at the Old Baptist campus as it's in the process of getting taken down. But what happened here?
Yeah, some people got in there again attempting to take some precious metals out of there. And once again, we do have good suspect information in this one, so probably an arrest is forthcoming. But, you know, a message to the bad guys out there, don't get onto this property, because the chances of you, it's kind of like the ballpark downtown, the chances of you getting caught are very high, so stop doing that.
You know, it's kind of interesting. I saw the pictures that the PNJ did of inside before it gets demolished, and what I kept thinking is, I mean, that looks like a great yard sale. There's a lot of desks and, you know, equipment, but I know that's probably what thieves think is, oh, that's the good stuff I can take. And no, you really, you can't. And you're probably going to get caught, as you guys have caught many people trying to do this exact same kind of thing. You had an incident at the port that was pretty weird. What happened?
Well, we had a person, or a man, decided he wanted to jump the fence to get in to the port. We don't know why, but he did injure himself going over that fence. Once he was inside, I don't believe anything was stolen, but he realized that he's trapped in there now. He doesn't want to go back out the same way he came in because it caused injury. So he found a vehicle that was inside the port. He was able to start that vehicle and ram a fence with it pretty close to where he got in the first time and was able to escape. Only for about a half a block, officers quickly apprehended him before he could make it to Main Street.
They got him before he got to Main? You guys must have been responding pretty wow. Because it's not that long. I mean, that's just, a block. that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a combination of good police work and security at the port and what a great patrol division. How about that?
Yeah. Man, also not the most well thought out plan by the criminal.
No, yeah,
because breaking
exit strategy wasn't a good one.
Yeah, and I mean the port is a secured area. It's like breaking into the airport, right? You have to get on the to get on the grounds of the port. You got to have a TWIC card or be accompanied. And I mean it's you're breaking into a military base, breaking into the port, breaking into the airport. These are all kind of similar things, right?
Yeah, they're very well secured, and you might as well try breaking in the county jail when you're doing something like that. It's not a good idea.
I'm trying to also figure out, what was he trying to steal? Like, one of the nacelles? He's trying to – you can barely transport those things with a truck, let alone with just on your own with your your legs. And then last one is you had a what turned out to be a swatting incident or something like it or spoofing, and you tell me. This was actually – I was on vacation. This was last Friday, and – I was driving away from Walmart and see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 8, 9, 10 cruisers, lights on, responding, going east on Creighton, called Greg Gordon, talked to him about, I actually wound up calling you on vacation, I apologize, because I had not remembered that you were, and I so very kindly hung up immediately and said, I'm sorry. But what happened at this incident at the Walmart?
Well, it's just what you said. It was an indication, we had an indication from a caller that there was an active shooter type situation going on up there, and when that happens, we pull out all the stops. Everybody's going to go to that location, and quickly found out that it was a swatting type situation. I believe there was one a day before, maybe a couple days before, in Santa Rosa County.
Yeah,
maybe incorrect on that, but so we believe that that's all that was, and officers were back on their normal patrol beats very quickly after that.
Very good.
Not much to it.
Yeah, when I talked to Greg, Officer Gordon, about it, and he had said that there was somebody said they were in the parking lot getting ready to shoot up the place, which of course turned out to be false. My reaction was because I carry, and I had been there. I mean, minutes before, whenever this call was going on, I was at the Walmart, and my first thought was, oh my God, I hope somebody didn't see me reaching up on the top shelf. You know what I mean? Because you wonder about that. Thank goodness that wasn't it. But, you wonder what's going on with these things. But you guys have to treat it like it's an incident because the time you don't is the time it could have been, right?
Yeah, we're going to do that. But we're also not going to have every resource that we have run to one location when it could be a diversion type situation and then something happens on the other side of town. So we're all, we're prepared for that and trained for that. But we're going to take everything seriously until we get there and understand or find out that it was a false call.
Absolutely. Last thing, we always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. You have one for me this week?
Yeah, and it has to do with what you just brought up, carrying concealed. Even though you're able to carry concealed, no problem with that at all, but when you assault a law enforcement officer in Florida while carrying a concealed gun, that triggers severe enhanced penalties, often escalating charges to felonies with mandatory minimum prison sentences under the Florida's 1020 life law. So mere possession of a firearm during a crime can result in a 10-year minimum mandatory sentence, while displaying it increases the penalty, and firing it carries a 20-year minimum. So basically, battery on an officer's take that, simple battery on an officer is elevated to a third degree felony up to 5 years, just because you had it in your waistband. Did not display it, did not threaten to use it, but just simply because you had it.
Okay, if I give Jamie Brierton a hug at the parade while concealed carrying, I'm still okay because it's not unwanted touching, right?
Yeah, it depends on how hard you hug him.
Well, he's a ginger. He bruises easily.
Yes, he does. Gets his feelings hurt easily, too.
Mike Wood is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, sir.